WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Farms and livestock operations are polluting the Mississippi River Basin like never before. As Mike Moan reports, a possible solution may be found out east.
Broader efforts to reduce harmful nutrients from reaching the Gulf of Mexico have largely failed. Mesa Khan is the former policy director at the Mississippi River Network. She says there isn't a lot of coordination among states and key agencies that are linked to this large source of water in establishing an effective model.
The way that we operate right now is very much a state-by-state kind of choose-your-own-adventure.
However, environmental observers point to an initiative to remove pollutants from Chesapeake Bay out east. For nearly 15 years, it's included a legally enforceable multi-state pollution quota, one of a select few in the nation. However, officials monitoring that program say even with marked improvements, they're still not meeting certain reduction targets, adding that other changes are needed. Any setbacks aren't deterring Midwestern organizations from urging federal government officials to spur a similar pollution quota covering all states along the Mississippi. Alicia Vasto of the Iowa Environmental Council says they'd appreciate a little more urgency.
Without that, I think we're kind of rudderless in the ways that we're trying to address pollution.
An estimated 60-80% of the nitrogen flowing from the Mississippi Basin to the Gulf originates at farms and livestock operations. Chemicals commonly used to grow crops and fertilize lawns can cause algae blooms and die-offs that rob waters of oxygen and suffocate aquatic life. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Bennett Goldstein for Wisconsin Watch.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A cool and damp day for football as we'll see showers across the area. Gusty northwest winds up around 25 miles per hour. Highs reaching the middle 50s. Showers ending tonight. We'll see mostly cloudy skies, lower 40s. Currently 49 degrees.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. A weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. So this is the show that you listen to that, as concerned as we are about what's going on nationally and even worldwide, and this show looks at what's going on locally here, because what's going on in the state and what's going on nationally and worldwide is pretty much covered. And sometimes what I think is the most important thing is gets lost in everything that's going on. I'm not discounting anything else that's going on, but I'm saying that what's going on here locally is important. And one of the things coming up here in Northeast Wisconsin, actually in the whole state of Wisconsin, are the elections for the Assembly and the Senate. We have with us a special guest here, Jamie Wall, who is running for the state Senate. I always think senator's a cool title. I just want to put that aside by. People always ask me that. Would you use mayor? I said, well, senator's pretty cool too. You are running to represent this area, which is about, 120,000? How many people in that?
It's about 180,000.
It's 180?
Yeah.
Well, that's about 60,000 assembly district. That's
exactly.
Right.
Multiply that by three, and there you go.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a chunk of people.
It is. It's almost all of the city of Green Bay in the district, and then it's all of Ashwaubenon, Alloway, Bellevue, De Pere, and then we've got just a small bit of the township of Ledgeview and about the western third of the township of Rockland to the south.
Well, that is definitely a big part of our listening audience here.
Core of urban Brown County.
There you go. Yeah. Love it. And that election is coming up here in November. There's two of you who are running against each other. There's 33 senators, 99, of course, in the assembly. That's an important job. I think sometimes people don't understand how important it is because everything that happens has to go through your chamber. I just got to ask you, in this world of just fighting, I guess, or just this can't get along, you start to get along and then get primaried and just this crazy stuff. What made you jump in?
Well, I mean, I think you actually hinted at some of it right there. I mean, I haven't been super happy with the direction of the state legislature over the past 10 or 15 years, and I don't think I'm alone on this. I hear that from people at the doors who often tell me something like, you know, for cripe's sake, why can't you people just work together and try to get something done? And, you know, that's not a crazy expectation for people who you want to represent you. Part of this is because we used to have, and, you know, this is a little bit inside baseball and not everybody's tuned into it, but we used to have a map here that split the Green Bay Metro into three separate state Senate districts. And now there's just one, you know, moderate district instead of three heavily conservative districts that, you know, ran off to the horizon. And if you sort of multiplied that across the state, you had a legislature that really wasn't very accountable to the average voter. I mean, they just worried about there were a large number of Republicans who worried about their primary voters and a smaller number of Democrats who worried about their primary voters. And the citizen in the middle was a little bit lost. So I think there's room for us to try to work together and get something done down there.
So that's that whole map thing we heard about ad nauseum.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, on and on and on. And finally, it's been resolved. And I think most people believe that it's going to be fairer districts, if I can say that. So tell me about yourself. I got some specifics I want to get into, but okay. I want to wait. I mean, I've known you, I've seen you around, you know, you've been.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about Jamie Wall.
Sure, sure. Well, I grew up here in Brown County in a family dairy farm, you know, south of De Pere. My dad farmed in partnership with his brother. They both worked off the farm as well. My uncle worked for the county for most of his career, and my dad came back from Korea and drove gravel truck for a few years and then went to work as a prison guard in the state prison in Alloway. So he was... did that for 34 years before he retired. Went to public schools in Wrightstown. Went to public university down in Madison at the UW. And, you know, it was really the taxpayers of the state that gave me a chance to get off to a decent start in life because they had, you know, made an investment in those school systems. And, you know, that's honestly one of my motivations here. I'd like to make sure that kids these days have a similar start to get off, to get ahead with, you know, no matter who their parents are or where they live. So that's something that's important to me. Since then, I've spent most of my working career in the business world. I run my own, you know, small business, a consulting practice. I work mostly with medical device companies in the eye care space and with their product managers, kind of helping them figure out what their customers need from them and how to deliver it. So that's, you know, very practical of, you know, here's a problem. What do we do about it? What are the facts that we know? How do we wrap our minds around it? So that's how I've spent most of my business career, most of my adult life. There was one exception in there, and that was about, 20 years ago now. I ran the part of the old State Department of Commerce, which has now been, you know, reconfigured and is now called WEDC. It's more or less the same function, just in a different body. But the part of that agency that had the state's private sector economic development programs. And what we did is we worked with businesses big and small around the state to help them, you know, expand and create jobs for, you know, Wisconsin people. And just a couple things I'd highlight that pertain to the area here. I had a chance to work with folks at Procter & Gamble when they're putting in the new paper machine in their Day Street mill, and that was a big deal. It would be a big deal now. It was massive capital investment, you know, millions upon millions of dollars, but it was the first paper machine that had been built in the state for, I think, a couple decades at that point, and that was a great signal to the rest of the industry that Wisconsin was still a good place to do business and employ people and had everything you need in terms of workforce and supply and all of that good stuff. I also work with a group of local business leaders that were in the process of forming a regional Northeast Wisconsin economic development group called the New North. And that's still going strong to this day. And that's helped, you know, bring people together from, you know, Sheboygan and Fond du Lac up to, you know, Green Bay and North to try to recruit businesses and create jobs as well. So those are a couple things. And, you know, I learned a lot about state government and, you know, honestly about the community here in that process. So.
The New North, familiar with that, that's multiple counties that are focused on economic development and sharing information. That P&G thing, that was a huge deal for Green Bay. Got a little lost in the whole Packer renovation. It was kind of going on, isn't it, a little bit?
Sort of at the same time.
I know, and they're both like a couple hundred million dollars. Oh, yeah. It's like, wow. Yeah. But great for them to, they can go anywhere, right? Procter & Gamble. For them to choose Green Bay and Wisconsin was a good thing for us.
Right, and there's something around, not, I don't think it's quite 1,000 anymore, but, you know, hundreds of people anyhow who, you know, work at that plant.
Oh, yeah.
And those are good jobs, you know, good benefits, you support a family, all of that stuff.
Exactly, so, and that's so important that we focus. I want to get to that a little bit in economics. I want to talk to you before we get into specifics. Senator is maybe not removed, but it's up there a little bit in the perception of people. Unlike a mayor, I think they'll stop you anywhere, anytime and tell you what they think. What I want to ask you, Jamie, though, is if you get elected, how are you going to keep in the loop with the constituency?
Oh.
I mean, 160,000 people is a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you got a crack staff here, but, you know, it is. And how do you connect?
Well, I think that's a good question for anybody in elected office, whether you're running for president or for dog catcher. But, you know, I'm working hard at this campaign. Yesterday, I knocked on door number 14,000, you know, across the district here. And, you know, I mean, that's a lot of shoe leather, but it also tells you, you know, what people are thinking about.
And they'll tell you. But yeah. I think people are pretty, I mean, Green Bay nice, but pretty good.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I mean, look, I mean, let's not romanticize it too much. I mean, most people aren't home, and a lot of the people who are, you know, would rather just get back to their dinner instead of talk to this weirdo at the door. But you're right. I mean, people do let you know what's on their mind, and you do enough of that, you get a sense of what people are worried about.
Yeah. And so I want to get to that. I just read one thing. I just wanna, you know, I was always jealous of these guys with November elections because ours were spring elections. So we're doing the same thing.
In the winter,
in the snow, in the dark. Uh-huh. You think people are like coming to the door at 6 o'clock at night when it's freezing out?
And no.
Just not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's all part of the process, no matter what you're running for.
Yeah. I've got some warm jackets, though. And you know, I was going through a couple shirts in an afternoon when it was 85 out.
Right.
So
I guess you can argue that one both ways.
But I hear you, Jim.
So what are you hearing at these doors? You think there's a common thread out there? Or you think it's just like get along?
No, there's okay. Well, I did mention that.
Yeah, you did.
That you do hear. And look, I mean, if you talk to anybody about politics, that'll come before too long. But I think there's a lot of concerns about just cost of living stuff right now. I mean, you look at what's gone on with the economy here over recent years. You know, the job market's pretty good. You know, a lot of businesses are hiring, but people have also seen the cost of living go up around them, and that's a challenge for a lot of people. You know, state government doesn't have a lot to do with the cost of groceries or the cost of gas, so I try not to mislead people as to, you know, what I can do or can't do if I'm elected. But, you know, there are other things that come up. Housing, I mean, certainly as mayor, I mean, the housing stock in the community was one thing on your agenda. Healthcare, that hits people, and, you know, that seems to keep ratcheting it up and up. And then this isn't everybody, but it really matters for the people that it's relevant for, and that's childcare. That, you know, right now, if you have your 2-year-old in daycare, that's about the same as having your 19-year-old in college in terms of costs. So I think those are the three things that state government actually can do something about, and I've tried to talk a little bit about that in my campaign.
All right. I want to drill down on a couple of those things. Out of the things you mentioned, and you're right, they're all really important. I want to talk about housing.
Mm-hmm.
I have another radio show that's in the morning with John Mino and myself. And housing, people are always talking about, they feel sorry for their kids, as, you know, how they can't afford a starter home. There aren't any starter homes. It's our own fault. We took time off and didn't keep up with demand or the labor market. I mean, what is it? Or what? I think I know what it is. I'd like to hear what you think it is. But I want to hear how you're going to address it.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I've lived in the same house in the, you know, kind of Astor East neighborhood here in the, you know, east side of Green Bay for the, it'll be 20 years in spring. And, you know, I bought my house for about $120,000, and I think I could sell it now for maybe $220,000. And most of that value increase has come in the last 5 years, maybe. So in one hand, great for me. But if you're that young couple who's looking for their first house, like you say, if you're renting, because your rent goes up and down with the cost of housing around you, it's a challenge. So to answer your question, what can we do about it? I'd start with supply. You know, just like anything in economics, there's supply and demand here, and we need to take a hard look in not only state but local government at whatever barriers our government's putting in the way of people who are building housing, whether it's single family apartments, condos, you know, duplexes, you name it, because, you know, we need housing up and down the stack there.
I would agree. The more supply will drive the price down a little bit. I'm one of those old guys that say I spent more for my last car than I did on my first house. And that's, like, I think, crazy.
Do you have a nice car?
Maybe I didn't have that nice of a house. Okay. Anyway, we have some work to do on that. I want to talk a little bit about the labor market, too, and sure, how you can help that. All right. Hey, you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have a special guest in-house, Jamie Wall, candidate for the Senate District here in the Greater Green Bay Community. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The kick is up and wide left.
Why don't they customize the goalposts? Make them wider.
Gina Della from Pella, how'd you get into the booth?
And why just yellow? Add some green stripes.
Sure, Gina. Should they also remove the G at midfield and paint a Pella crest?
Okay, Wayne, you can't customize a football game to go the way you want, but Pella can customize your home the way you want.
Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. It's 10/31/2024.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
With Jim Schmidt, a special in-house guest, Jamie Wall, candidate for Senate District here in Greater Green Bay, representing 180,000 people. And before break, we were talking about housing, and that just seems to be a common thread no matter where you live. And I'm not just talking about Greater Green Bay, no matter where you live in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Affordability, especially for first-time home buyers. And you were saying that as a state senator, you'd lean into that issue a little bit and hopefully increase the supply, but just a couple things on how you're going to do that.
Right. Well, I think you look at the barriers. Look, I mean, cities and villages, they operate in a box that the state draws for them. All right. And that can be a small box or it can be a big box. But I think you look at everything from, you know, building codes to zoning to, you know, use of TIF districts, which I'm sure you have some experience with from your tenure as mayor, which are all tools for local governments to, you know, to do good housing development for their citizens. The state also has a housing authority called WEDA. They've got a couple programs that work with first-time home buyers to afford that first down payment, secure that first mortgage, and I think we can probably be doing more of that. But like I said, it all starts with supply because, you know, we can subsidize first-time home buyers, but if the supply isn't growing any more, we're just going to make it easier for them and harder for everybody else, and that's not the best solution.
So I think part of the reason we fell back on supply was a number of reasons, but one of them is the labor market. Mm-hmm. So do you have some plans to incent people in the trades?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I mean, college is good for many people. It's not good for everybody. And, you know, more people transfer from the UW system to NWT to the technical college systems and vice versa. And people can build good lives for themselves and their families in create careers for themselves in the trades. And those jobs can't be shipped overseas. That work needs to happen here. I think over the next couple of decades, we need to build a lot of things in this country. We need to build housing. We're going to need to build, new clean energy systems. And that means, you know, all sorts of things. And it's going to be a good thing for us at the end of it. But there's going to be no shortage of work for folks who, you know, want to be part of that effort.
Of course, I teach there, but I'm a big supporter of the technical schools.
Sure.
And like I said, you know, business, liberal arts major like me. Yeah. You know, they're nice to have around, but mm-hmm. I don't know. There's just more job security.
Want people actually do the work?
Yeah.
Not great, just talk about it?
I got great ideas. All right. Hey, you talked about childcare. Let's check that one off.
Okay.
What are your plans on that?
Well, gosh. Look, childcare is first and foremost about kids, but, you know, it's also with their parents. And another name for their parents is the Wisconsin workforce. I mean, to loop back to what we were just talking about. Governor's done some good things with federal money to shore up the childcare industry, which seems to be always operating on a shoestring, but also to help parents who are having trouble affording childcare out as well. And the federal money is used for that is running out. States running surpluses. I think we can devote some of that to help out, you know, our young parents and their kids on this front.
You're right. It's all looped together. Hey, I want to talk about infrastructure. Mm-hmm. A couple things that are obviously in the news, on the horizon. And, you know, we do talk about local issues here. Three things, and you can take them in any order you want. I'll talk about the bridge, Southern Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about the coal piles.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about the prison.
All right.
Do you?
Sure. Well, I mean, just in order, I mean, the Southern Bridge is going to be, you talk to anybody in De Pere, I mean, they're excited about it. And because, you know, the existing De Pere Bridge is pretty heavily used and the people along Main Street are a little bit, you know, tired of the traffic there. So, I mean, at a minimum, it's going to alleviate that and, you know, should open up the door for some new development and, you know, toward, you know, down further south of De Pere as well. So that cake's already baked is my understanding. I mean, the wheels are turning, you know, the Dartmouth transportation is at work. So, you know, good on the people who made that happen and good in De Pere and the rest of the county for it.
Okay.
Sorry, the second thing was...
Well, you can talk about coal piles. Or
coal
the
piles.
Prison.
Oh, there's my gosh. I mean, the coal piles, yeah. I mean, this has been an issue in Green Bay politics since... But before your time,
oh my God,
you know,
Jamie,
you're a little older than I am.
Romy,
you know?
Dennison.
Okay.
Who was elected the year I was born.
Oh my.
I went back and did a little history on him. Mm-hmm. I actually met him. I actually talked at his funeral. Yeah, they're still there.
All right. Well.
And you guys can play a role in that.
Yes. I mean, the state and the State Department of Transportation has got programs that, you know, will help build transportation infrastructure and relocate it. And in this case, it's port infrastructure. We've got, you know, good port facilities up at the mouth of the river. And the idea is that you'd relocate what's the name of the company, the coal
Fox.
Company there, you know, on that, whose coal piles they are, you know, up to the mouth of the river and, you know, burn I'll down those supplies and, you know, and reconstitute it up north out of the way. And that's going to be a huge thing for the city. I mean, that's prime riverfront real estate that can build housing and commercial space. And if we do that right,
tax
I
base.
Mean, it'd be a wonderful thing.
So you're going to support that.
Oh, heck yeah.
The city's got money. The
right.
county has, but they don't want to spend it on that. So we're going to need the state to participate.
I'll be front of the line in that one.
Okay.
I mean, that'd be a wonderful thing for the community.
What's
and
cool
tax
about
base too.
That, because I interviewed another guy that's an incumbent that's running, and that's a nonpartisan issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is cool. Sometimes you guys kind of pick
right.
a lane that's
no,
a little
but,
narrow.
This one's a no-brainer in my book. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I want to see that done.
Okay. You and me both.
I know you do. Hey, I want to just shift over to public safety. Wisconsin, you can look at their statistics, but a couple things I think Would you support allowing checkpoints for the police to have checkpoints? Because the state doesn't allow that.
Sorry, checkpoints for...
drunk driving. Set them up.
I'd have to think about that. Honestly, haven't come across the issue before. If you could do it in a way that's useful and that doesn't... And there's not some legal issue I'm not aware about, I'd say sure. But,
okay, and what about red light and speed cameras? Something else to state.
Yes. I mean, color me naive. I was down in Milwaukee like 6 months ago for a show. I didn't get a ticket, but, you know, here people, you know, kind of pick the lemon or pick the apple, and down there, oh my gosh, they do. So, yeah.
Okay. You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me, Jamie Wall, candidate for Senate, give me your elevator pitch.
Right. Okay. I'd like to help get state government working for regular people who, you know, get up in the morning and work hard every day and are trying to, you know, build a better life for themselves and their families and their kids. And they're not going to give me a magic wand if I'm elected, but you can at least push in the right direction. I've talked about a few things that we can do to help with the cost of living. I think we also should give back some of the state surpluses to regular people in form of a tax cut. And that's what's one thing I'm running on here. I think that would help people who are feeling pinched. Aside from that, if you want a partisan, you know, fighter, it's not me.
Website,
I want to work together.
10 seconds.
Wall4Wisconsin.com. WallForWisconsin.com.
All right, Jamie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck on the trail.
Okay.
All right. See you after November.
And the mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. Cleanup efforts continue in Florida after the brutal 1-2 punch of Hurricanes Helene and Milton. President Biden surveyed the damage in Florida today on his second trip to the state in just 2 weeks.
Yesterday after I signed the major disaster declaration, more than 250,000 Floridians registered for help. 250,000.
A new poll out this morning from ABC News and Ipsos finds 56% of voters agree with Vice President Kamala Harris that the federal government should restore abortion access. On ABC's This Week, Republican vice presidential nominee Senator J.D. Vance commented on Harris's abortion views.
While she hides behind the popular slogan of Roe versus Wade, Kamala Harris's actual abortion views, I think, are much more radical than even a lot, I think, frankly, most of our pro-choice citizens.
The poll also found Harris and former President Trump virtually neck and neck with just 23 days until the election. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers bring home a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers returned from New Jersey with a 42-7 win over Rutgers yesterday. Wisconsin jumped out to a 14-0 lead and controlled the line of scrimmage on both offense and defense. Head coach Luke Fickle.
We're getting better, but it's really about the way you play, and it's about the progress that we can continue to make. And we know that we're going to have to count on those guys up front on both sides of the football, but the progress that they continue to make, they'll get dinged up and beat up and go back to work, is where we're going to hang our hat.
Next, the Badgers take on the Wildcats at Northwestern. NFL, Packers host the Cardinals, a recap coming up tonight. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. Baseball, Brewers GM Matt Arnold asked about Devin Williams' blown save that ended their season and allowed the Mets to advance.
As far as Devin Williams goes, I mean, one moment shouldn't define
who he is, who we are. This guy was absolutely crushed, just like the rest of us.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A cool and damp day for football as we'll see showers across the area. Gusty northwest winds up around 25 miles per hour. Highs reaching the middle 50s. Showers ending tonight. We'll see mostly cloudy skies, lower 40s. Currently 49 degrees.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 39, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
From the Lake Shore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS. And the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. A weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
The loud? All right, welcome back to Lean Local. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. This is the program where we talk about what's important politically, but and we're concerned about what's going on nationally and in the state, but we really drill down to what's going on locally, and that's why we call this program Lean Local. And we have a big race coming up, a lot of interesting competitive races that are coming up here in Greater Green Bay, and one of them is the Senate to represent 160,000 people in Greater Green Bay, part of De Pere, Wrightstown, but you know the whole city of Green Bay. And we have one of the candidates in here who's been with us before. Do I still address you as president, or do you just go, what do you go by? Jim Rafter, who is you're the president of Alloway still.
I'm still the village president, yep.
And you've been there, what, 10 years?
I've been in the village board for 10 years, yeah. President for 8.
That's great. And you decided to throw your hat in for state senate.
I did.
Like, can I ask why?
Yes, you can. First of all, there was an open seat.
Yep.
All the other senators who were drawn into the district have chosen to do other things. And as you know, Jim, as a local municipal leader, you have certain authority, and that authority stops at certain areas, and we need the state for the rest. And right now, our area, the Greater Green Bay area and District 30, needs help from the state. and I've experienced the need firsthand. I've experienced trying to keep budgets firsthand, and the struggles that we face in delivering high quality services. So it's time to go to Madison and help our local communities get what they need.
No. Madison is, I mean, you're going from the president, which is, you know, more the executive branch, mm-hmm. to a legislative branch.
Correct.
Not always easy. Although when I interview you guys, you always seem like everybody's such a nice person. I was like, how can't we all get along? Did you get down? I don't know what the water is down there or what, but
yeah.
Tell me a couple of the issues and how you think you can build consensus around them.
Okay, good question. Everywhere I go and every door I knock on, people tell me that the cost of living is number one. The cost of food, the cost of gas, cost of housing, young adults not being able to get into housing, older adults getting priced out of the market and not being able to retire into the areas that they want to. And there are things that government can and should do to help with that. Do we subsidize it? No, we don't subsidize it, but maybe we can stop taking less taxes out of people's pockets, which I know we can. Right now we're sitting on a $3.5 billion surplus down in Madison. We don't have to sit on that money, and we surely don't have to spend it just because we have it. So we have to look at reducing the amount of taxes that we take from people, cutting the red tape, as you know, with roads and trying to do roads today, it's terribly expensive. And when you use any federal or state funds, the cost of that project goes up about 35% because of all the red tape.
As does the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem with those loans. Yeah. It just takes a damn long to get something done. It
takes a long time. It's everything that you've got to do just to qualify for that money.
Right.
And the cost of the projects go up dramatically. So we have to cut that back. We have to make it easier for people to do business in the state of Wisconsin. And if it's easier for businesses to do it, it'll be cheaper for our consumers.
Let's talk about housing. I mean, if that's a common thread that I hear from old people, young people, Democrats, Republicans, you know, people who've just moved here or people who have been here a long time.
Yep.
It's like almost crazy, housing. And is it going to get better? The interest rate went down 0.5%. That's not the answer. I mean, it's a little bit.
It's not the answer. When I bought my first house, I think interest rates were at 13%.
Oh, wow. So yeah, okay.
It's cyclical, right? It will come down, I hope.
The guy who did that's 100 years old, by the way. Yeah.
but housing is an issue, and it's, you know, I have kids who are in their 30s.
Right.
And
it's tough.
And they rent, and they're looking to buy, but they're in very expensive markets. I tell people, you know, it's expensive. The cost has gone up dramatically here in Green Bay or in the Green Bay area. But be thankful we're not somewhere else, because those costs in Minnesota and Colorado and Illinois, they've really skyrocketed. So, but we have to help our young adults being able to get into housing so they can start their families and do great things.
And build some equity.
And build some equity.
Right. I mean, rent doesn't build equity. That's one of the big problems with rent.
No, it's going to be, you know, if you're paying $2,000 a month in rent, how are you going to save for a house?
Right.
So there has to be a way.
A house is for savings. Huh? A house it forces is. You to save, it and is. It through building equity. But yeah. So, all right, I think we agree that that's a problem. What are some of the things you said you're going to work with the municipalities? How are we going to get housing cheaper or more affordable or whatever the answer is?
We need a good problem. Mix of housing.
Yeah, we do.
So because right now, people in homes aren't turning their homes over. They're not putting them on the market because there's nowhere for them to go. So it starts with our seniors being able to find affordable housing for our seniors so that they can retire into a place that they want to be in and can afford. And then they make those homes available. And as you know, if we have more homes on the market, there's more competition and the cost comes down. So it's just natural. It's
supply how it and demand.
Yep.
So you're one of the things that you would advocate for as a senator was more senior living housing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to go back to the student, not students, kids. We have kids similar in age. Mm-hmm. Daycare cost is crazy too.
It is.
Have you thought about that? Are you hearing that at the doors?
I do hear about it at the doors. And it is an issue. And there's programs past last session to help fund or help the child care center owners. But what we need to do in order to truly make it more affordable is we need to be able to help the people who are paying for it, the parents. And whether that be come through child care tax credits or savings plans, much like they do for education, or just simply helping them put money away. Because just because we have more child care centers doesn't mean we have people who are willing to work there. So we have to make it a desirable profession so that there are people willing to open the doors, people who are willing to work there. And once again.
So would you, that's a really good point. I mean, that's the most precious asset we have, our kids, right? I mean, yep. Nothing's even close to that. And they don't get paid what they deserve. And I don't think they've got the strongest lobbying group or union group behind them, quite honestly. You're just going to advocate for more funding or a minimum requirement for that? Tell me how we're going to pay our child care workers more so it's a more attractive job. And you're saying to give the money to the owner of the facility?
No, they've done that before. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily make it more affordable. It just keeps their doors open.
Yeah.
Right? During COVID, it kept their doors open when they got support.
Right.
But that's not going to make child care any more affordable. So we have to figure out how to bring those costs down. And quite honestly, I don't have the answer, but I do know that a lot of people have been working on it.
Yeah.
And we just can't let the problem go away. We can't let it be a quiet problem. We have to talk about it, bring in people with a bunch of different ideas and figure out what works.
And hopefully it's not going to go away. I mean, hopefully we're going to continue to have kids,
yeah.
Right? You don't want to be like, you know, some of these countries where they're selling more adult diapers than baby diapers. That's a problem.
Yep.
So, I mean, we need to continue to have kids.
With childcare, maybe we work with employers and incent them to have childcare centers within their walls. I know.
Or within schools, a region. Yeah.
Yeah. The schools would love that. The employers would love that. And the employees would love it.
Yeah. All right. That's a good idea. Let's talk about some local, and this program does lean local. Three things that I know you're working on, or that I know one you're really working on, you know, coal piles, the prison, and the Southern Bridge.
Yep.
Comment on any of them in any order, but those are three things that are in the news that, I don't know, are they moving along? Or are they stuck in neutral? Where are they at?
Well, I know. Let's start with the coal piles. Those coal piles, and I see them from my office window. Right. And no one wants them there. And it's going to cost a lot of money to move that. I know there's a huge amount of support for doing that. And it's my understanding that we need the state's help financially to do so.
Yes.
To be able to reinvigorate that piece of the river and move the coal piles north is just a good thing for our entire economy. So I surely hope that continues.
And I think people know that. I mean, you could put a tax base on there of, I don't know, $150, $200 million of tax base and some green space. And yeah, I don't know where it's stuck, but it's not moving as fast. And look, I was mayor forever and couldn't get it done. It takes money. That's the bottom line. Because you're right. What's cool about it is the will is there.
Yep.
By everybody.
It's true.
And
when you have the will, you'll find a way.
Okay, well, counting on you.
And if I get down there, I'll work.
Okay, all right.
Hey. And in terms of the prison, as you know, we've been working for 9 years to close that place. And briefly, we wanted it for economic development. But right now, it's a terrible place to be, whether you work there or you're incarcerated there. So we have bipartisan support to close it. Right now, the governor's hasn't been in favor of it. So hopefully when I get down to Madison, I can work with him on that.
What's the answer, though? I mean, you close it, there's still 1,000 people there that you're not going to let them out.
No, I think we have an opportunity truly to reimagine our criminal justice system here in Wisconsin and how we prepare people who are incarcerated for reentering our communities. You know, they get for a couple of months at the end of a 10-year prison sentence, they'll get some training on how to come back into the community. And yet they've been locked in a cell for 10 years with another guy. We have to do a better job at starting the program early in their incarceration, the types of services, the mental health needs, so that when they do come back into our communities, that are doing so safely and keeping our communities safe.
Yeah. Kudos to that. I mean, that I don't know what the answer is. Minnesota is not dissimilar to Wisconsin, right? About the same population, about the same makeup. You know, we're kind of all like Europeans, and we incarcerate twice as many people as they do. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't think people are that bad here.
I think there's an opportunity to work on that, from my understanding. And I know that there are people on both sides of the aisle willing to do so.
Tim, what's the other issue that's in the news all the time is the bridge, Southern Bridge.
Yep. The bridge is happening.
Who's going to fund that?
So I'm told.
Well,
the state, it's going to be a mix of state, local, and county, and probably in federal, right?
You're in Alloway.
Yep.
That is pushing people south, right? It's going to be easier to live south. It's going to be easier to work south, right? Because of the Southern Bridge. I mean, there's no question about it. I hope we're not doing that at the expense of neglecting, you know, the city.
I don't think so. I mean, it's naturally going to happen. You know, our community is building out west towards Howard and Hobart.
Right.
People want more room. They want newer housing stock. And even Green Bay, Green Bay's building to the east, right, in the northern edge. So it's going to happen. And we just have to make sure that our entire community, you started saying the greater Green Bay area, right? We need to make sure that our entire area is a place where people want to live and work.
I would agree to that. I want to talk a little bit about economic development, some of your thoughts are on that, what we can do. You know, we got a great community here, but then we compete a little bit with, as much as we love Illinois and Indiana, they're all out there too. So I want to talk a little bit about two things, right? I want to talk about the technical schools, a little bit about education, and a lot about just the economy here in Wisconsin when we come back, okay? And then
Sounds great.
Couple other things I want to just check through real quick. But anyway, hey, thanks for being here. Stick around. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest Jim Rafter, candidate for the Senate district here in Greater Green Bay. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Autumn is in the air, and like the leaves, prices are falling at Harbor Freight's parking lot sale. Going on now. We've got tons of products on sale, like 3-ton jacks for under $100, 5,000-watt generators $250 off, plus dual bevel miter saws at nearly half the price of the competition. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 10/13/24. While supplies last. So hurry in. Limitations apply.
When it comes to accurate, reliable election information for Wisconsin voters, visit the official site. It's myvote.wy.gov. It's the big cheese, you could say. It's your one-stop source for official Wisconsin election information. Find your polling place, see your sample ballot, make sure your registration is up to date, and more at myvote.wi.gov. Sponsored by Wisconsin Elections Commission, aired by Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Feel my name, stay, feel me.
Jim Schmidt, special guest in-house, Jim Rafter, currently the president of the Village of Alloway and is a candidate for the Senate district here, District 4. And
30.
That's, I was going to say that. I know it's 30. I was reading question 4 here. All right, District 30. So Jim's here, and we talked, touched on a number of things in the last segment, but let's talk about, you know, some big picture things and some specifics that you have for regarding economic development. I mean, it's a competitive community, not just with, you know, outside your district, but other states as well we compete with, and we need to get, well, you tell me.
That's an excellent point. Economic development, you were talking about people moving, you know, from other states, or we're competing with other states. From what I've read, there are people leaving Illinois. There are people leaving other states where it's just not business friendly. And Wisconsin has a reputation, I believe, of being business friendly, and we have to continue that so that people want to come here. And in terms of economic development, in the Village of Alloway, that's been our focus because we're a landlocked community. So it's got to be redevelopment for us to gain more revenue. And you can do some very cool things, as we're doing here in Green Bay, but in Alloway specifically, we're reimagining our village and putting in a village center and bringing in the new development. And development that is desirable for the folks we're trying to bring in, the young professionals, those who are hard workers earning good wage, but they also want to have fun. They want to have places to go and people to see. And Green Bay's been working on that for a long time. We have multiple initiatives across the area, as you know, and I think we're doing a great job, but boy, we have to keep going.
It's competitive. I mean, it just is, and I think people think, well, we got the Packers, we're good. It just doesn't happen. So yeah, attracting talent here, education's always an issue. How it's going to be funded, private schools, public schools. What are you hearing, and what are your thoughts, and what are you going to do regarding education?
Well, education, I know people have been talking quite a bit about the trades, and you know, is a 4-year college degree required for someone to succeed? And I think we're all hearing and knowing that going to the trade school, and we have good trade schools here in the area, can prepare someone for a great job, a very lucrative career in the trades. And when someone's better off going into becoming an electrician or a plumber or a welder, God bless them. They can do a great things that can make great money and contribute to our community. And for those people who want to become a doctor or an accountant or a lawyer, we also have that school. But to try and fit everyone into the same peg into the same hole just isn't the right thing to do. And I think we have an opportunity at the high school level to really help prepare our kids better and try to help them know themselves and figure out, where do I want to go? Because, you know, some kids go to college, they collect the debt, and they choose to go a different route, and they still have to pay off that debt. And so if we can do a better job at the younger years, and maybe even preparing them for different trades and internships earlier in life, I think that'd help.
And I think we have a pretty good model here. We have some schools, east and west, that have these kids can learn. In junior year, I think you can get into a program, mechanics or some welding things. And good. I'm glad to hear you say that, because I don't think trade schools should be for people who can't get into college. I think that should be a choice in freshman year. It's like, look, that's what I'm going to do. And you know, you see the numbers, as do I. There's better job security and sometimes more money in the trades versus
being a lawyer or something, because those
absolutely
those are some tough gigs.
And you can work for someone, and then you can go off and build your own practice eventually, right? Which a lot of people do,
right? And side hustle, yeah. That's those are great jobs. We talked a little bit about public safety, but that's always a concern of people: Democrats, Republicans, old, young. Just, I mean, we all want the same thing, right? We want good education. We want safe neighborhoods, and we want economic opportunities. What would you like to do down in Madison regarding the whole public safety?
Public safe. People think, and justifiably so, that the Green Bay area is, you know, very safe. Well, comparatively speaking, it is. But in talking to law enforcement, the biggest threat to our quality of life here in the Green Bay area is drug trafficking, opioids, and human trafficking. And it's scary to think what's going on here, but it's a quiet problem. We've got to get ahead of that. And I know our law enforcement, they're well-respected in the area for that, but we have to make sure that they have the tools they need to really crack down on stuff that's coming up from the south into our area and then being used as a highway to the UP, out to the western part of the state. And it's real stuff. It's scary to hear the age range of those who are being human trafficked in our community. And we have to help those organizations that are there today to help those victims, but more importantly, try and get ahead of it.
It's scary to, when you read and see some things on fentanyl, and that's something we just got to get our arms around. And I think there's some efforts being done, but again, it's going to take, it's not just the municipality, because we don't control what comes up from the far south. And I'm talking south-south, right? Not just Chicago. But, I'm glad you're working with sheriffs and police on that, because that's we got to get our arms around that.
I was very thankful to be endorsed by the sheriff of Brown County, Todd Boleyn.
Todd's a good guy. All right. Hey, let's we're out of time already. We're running out of time. Jim Rafter for State Senate, tell me why. And then give me some addresses that people can contact if they want some more info.
Great. Thank you. Why Jim Rafter? It's because Jim Rafter's been married for 38 years to the same wonderful woman, raised two kids. I know the challenges the families are facing. Professionally, I've worked in the public sector, the private sector, and the nonprofit sector, and I know very well the struggles that all of them are having. And lastly, for the last 10 years, I've served on the Village Board of Alloway. I've been the president for 8 years. I've worked with people on both sides of the aisle, all political ideologies, just to get the job done. And that's what I'm going to do when I go to Madison. I focus on the issues. I don't focus on the parties. I don't focus on politics.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. You got a website or something we can jump
on? Yes, please. Rafter4Wisconsin.com. Rafter, F-O-R, Wisconsin.com.
All right. James, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck. It's coming up, right? November 5th. So, who's counting, right? All right. Well, thank you for being in here. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We be back next week. We have the congressional candidates coming in. So, again, thanks for listening. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior, and he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Days after Hurricane Milton made landfall in western Florida, people are still being rescued from the destruction.
Urgent rescue.